Welcome to Island Baptist Church. Today's sermon is from Pastor Greg Judd, transitioning.
My sermon today is based on a meme. And typically, you know, Pastor Bill, he preaches through a verse or a Bible or a book and the Bible. He's done that. We just preach all the way through. And when I fill in, sometimes most of the time I take a passage and whatever's there, I give it to you. But for some reason, this stuck out at me, and I did a little bit of research on it, and I want to share this with you today. A friend of mine from college, I don't know him very well anymore. I mean, I knew him pretty good back then. He's been in ministry this entire time. He preaches, and he's written a book, and I'm going to share a quote with you from that book in just a moment. But a really good guy, musician, and now he's a guest speaker. He flies and drives all over the place. He doesn't right now, but that's kind of his job in ministry, is to encourage churches. And he had this quote that came up on the internet from his book, and I've been reading a lot of quotes from it. I haven't read the book. I don't recommend the book. I can't. I haven't read it, but he's a good guy. And here's the quote that he had. There are three choices influence our experience in every transition: the path you take, the load you carry, and the company you keep. Choose wisely. Well, I thought about those for just like a second, and you could see the biblical thought process that my friend Billy has going on there. And I couldn't go to a particular text and just find that, those are all good ideas, and I want to share with you those things. It's from his book, Thriving in Transition. And he wrote it, I don't know, a year or two ago, three, I lose track of time. But he wrote this book, and I've been seeing quotes come through, and I've saved those little memes sometimes and get inspired by them. And if there was ever a time we're in transition, it's now. We are definitely in transition. With the COVID, with the economic impact, with the work, with the fear, with the all the things that go with this, we are hoping we're in transition, right? We hope this is not the new normal, where this is it. Oh, we certainly hope that's not the case, and we certainly hope we're not transitioning into something worse. But wherever we are, we're in transition. He wrote the book about from the quotes I've seen and a little bit I've read from it about traveling through these hard times and what it takes to get through a difficult time and transition. Transition comes from the normal to either back to normal or the new normal. Again, we hope this is not our new normal for us. But as we look at his thoughts, we're going to delve into what the scriptures say about this transition. And he makes some very good points, and we're going to start with the first point: the path you take. So these choices influence our experience in every transition. And the first one is the path that we take. In life, in hiking, there are sometimes multiple paths that are equally good. The Bible's we're not going to talk about those paths, but before we talk about the Bible paths, when we talk about paths, you think, well, it doesn't really matter which path you take as long as you get to the right destination. And that's true in some circumstances. If you're out hiking, And somebody says, hey, when the trail splits, you can go this way, and it's like an hour shorter, but this way, man, is really beautiful. And you got a choice, right? You evaluate your legs and your lungs and how much you're sweating and how much food and water you got, and you go, you know what? I'm going the scenic route, and you just go. And it's good, and it's fine. And if you say, man, I'd rather have the hour than the beauty, then you take this path. Nothing wrong with that, right? We have a lot of choices in our lives, a lot of transitions. It's not between good and bad or good and better. It's just what's the word I'm looking for? They don't really matter that much. There's a better word for it, and it escaped me right now. So we're not talking about those paths. We're talking about the paths of righteousness, the way to go. And when you're in transition, when you see difficulty ahead, you want to take the shortest, most direct way through that. And by not taking God's path, many times in our transitions, we make them longer or we make them harder. In Proverbs 3, one of the probably most quoted scriptures that I hear among people, and because it's so wonderful, is we're to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. If we acknowledge God, if we keep Him at the forefront of our minds and our thoughts, then as we travel the path of righteousness, He will make that path straight. It doesn't mean it won't be hard. It doesn't mean it'll be all fun and water slides. It doesn't mean that at all. But He says He'll make the path straight if we trust in Him and we rely on Him. And so in times of transition, what we can do is we can make sure that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. In Proverbs 4:25, it says just that. Let your eyes look straight ahead and fix your gaze directly before you. Make the level path for your feet and take only the ways that are firm. Do not swerve to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So in the path analogy that the Scripture gives us, we find that the path is good and that the straying is evil. So the thing about walking on a path is that you're on the right path until you're not. So you have to take every step you take is a choice to stay on the path, or one step off takes you into ground what the Scripture calls potential evil. Keep your foot from evil. Don't let your foot stray from the path. If we want to get through the transition as quickly as possible, we have to be very careful that we don't run down paths that will cause us to have worry and turmoil and hatred and bitterness and all those things. You know, with all that's going on in our world and all that comes across my Facebook page, I don't know if your experience during the transition has been like this, but you know, I'm doing pretty good. I trust God. I get my mind right. Everything's good. And then I watch a little bit too much Facebook. I don't watch hardly any news, but I get news sometimes accidentally, and then my life kind of goes down here, and I start to worry and fret, and then I remember, oh, God's in control, and I'm up and down, and I'm up and down. And the path we take is not always our big decisions that are going to show up to the world, but they're decisions that happen in here that affect what goes on right here. And so the path we take mentally is just as important as the path we take physically. The Scripture talks about physical sin, and it talks about mental and spiritual sin, all that happens with inside your heart and your mind. And we have to trust God, stay on His straight path, and He will keep us from evil if we keep our mind right with Him. So in your transition, as we transition through this COVID thing together, as you transition through your personal difficulties, we need to take the right path. Secondly, a second big indicator and a thing that influences our transition is the load that you carry. There's nobody I know of, when you sit down and talk beyond the, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. How are you? Things are pretty good at work. And you're done and you have the 40-second conversation. And we all have those. Nothing wrong with that. But when you sit down and you actually have conversations with people and they trust you enough to open up, or you trust them enough to open up, you always find that there's some load that you're carrying. It may not be your own personal load. It's a load of a family member or a difficulty somebody's going through, and you're praying for them and you wish you could help them more. And there's the load. Again, and some of this has to do with the way we deal with our lives mentally, but we all have a load that we're carrying. No one is bouncing through this life like Barney on a TV show. Everything is just great. And if you are, I'd love to get your secret. Come see me. We'll have a counseling session. I won't counsel you. You can counsel me and tell me how you get that just wonderful happiness all the time. I have a sense of joy most of my life, but then there, again, dark things come in. It's the load that we carry in our minds and in the things that we have to do. In Matthew chapter 11, Jesus says this about the load that we carry. Come to me, He says, all you who are weary and you're burdened. Is that you right now? Are you a little weary? Are you a little burdened? Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest. It's the brass ring, it's the gold ring, it's the coveted thing that we lack. Most of us don't mind working hard, and doing things we need to do, but we just would like to have a little bit more of that rest. Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you that rest. And then He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Take my tasks upon you. Take my work upon you. Jesus doesn't say, come to me. I'm going to get rid of all the burdens and you don't have to do anything. Now understand this. If you want to get saved, you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is come to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And He will. I trust in you as the Lord and Savior. I believe you're the one who you said you are. You don't have to do anything for that. But when He calls you to follow Him as a believer, as you believe in who He is, He says you've got some responsibilities. But He says, my yoke, my guiding principles, my tasks for you are tasks, but they're light. Well, how can that be? Wouldn't it be better just to have no responsibilities whatsoever? That's not how God designed you, and that's not how God designed it to work. He says, I have responsibilities for you. But those responsibilities are not heavy. Oh, I could never teach a Sunday school class. I could never serve in this way. I could never do this. I could never do that. That's too hard. If Jesus calls you to it, it's not heavy. It becomes a joy. It doesn't mean it's not work, but it becomes a joy and it lifts your heart as you move forward. So the load we carry, Jesus calls us to pick up His load, which is the proper load, and travel on the proper path. In Hebrews, it talks also about the load that we can carry that maybe is not the good load. We pick up Jesus' load, that's the best thing, but sometimes we carry loads that we are not designed to carry. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus had His task, and while He was perfect, His life was not perfect as far as what we think of the perfect life, right? He did everything right, people loved Him, and it was over. No, He did what was right. He went through hardship, He went through temptation. They crucified Him for no wrong. They beat Him, they hung Him on a cross, and He completed His task. And now, when He's finished, He's sitting at the right hand of God, at the throne of God. There's Jesus, and this very same Jesus tells us on our travels, look at it in verse 1, lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. So as we walk on the path, we need to carry the right load, the load that Jesus has given it, the responsibilities He's given us, the call to love, the call to share, the call to encourage, the call to help other people. We need to be doing those things, and that's the load that we need to carry, and it's light. And we need to get rid of the load that leads us to sin. Well, sometimes the load we carry is self-induced, right? We pick up things we shouldn't pick up. We see things and do things that we shouldn't do. And we pick up the load that we were never intended to carry. And Jesus also says, cast my burdens at my feet. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to cast our cares on God because He cares for us. So if we're going to make it through our difficulties as quickly and efficiently as possible, you can't hurry up the plan of God, but I believe you could certainly mess it up. You know, you start thumbing your nose at God. You start just veering off the path. Your hardship is more likely to last longer. So if you want to get through, you got to be careful about the path you take, and you have to be careful about the load you carry. And then lastly, you need to be careful about the company that you keep. We're traveling together, and it's so good to see so many people here today to worship. Again, not saying that everyone should be here, but I'm glad that you guys are here. And there's something refreshing about seeing people's faces and being in worship together. It's just God's designed us for that. And the company we keep makes a big difference in how we get through difficulties in our lives. In Ecclesiastes, it teaches that we're not supposed to go through life alone. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Scriptures say we're not supposed to do this thing alone. You can go home and study your Bible, and you can just try to be like a South Padre Island monk and just hole up somewhere and think that's all I need. It's not. It is not. You're not designed that way at all. One can be overpowered. With two, hey, you got a little better chance, a little back-to-back fighting in the spiritual realm. And three, oh, it makes it so much better. And not only in the fighting sense, the fighting off evil, but also in the living life, it makes it so much more joyful. So we're designed to do this together. And the people we choose to come alongside of us make a big difference. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And we don't just walk side by side as believers and not affect each other. Whoever we walk with affects us. And if we are trying to walk with God, and our friend and our person alongside of us is not, we will affect them, hope to bring them back. And the times that we start to step off the path, when they stay on the path, it helps you. Just hearing people say these positive things sometimes brings you out of a darkness. It brings you out of a depression area, something that's going on in your life, if we hang out with the right people. Now, as far as iron sharpened iron, it works the other way too. If you hang out with people who are pretty rough, guess what? They sharpen you in the ways of the world, but they dull you in the ways of faith, in the ways of God. And not only do we need to be careful about the people that we hang around, we need to get the right people. That also includes the electronic people we hang out with. You hang out with a lot of electronic people these days, don't you? You know, it's not like there are three channels on the TV when I grew up way back in the day. You know, it's not like that. There are thousands of voices. There are thousands of people. And the world's pervasive, and whether you're on social media or what the TV shows that you watch and the news, oh my goodness, if you watch much news, you can watch it on both sides of the aisle, and you can get worried and depressed and anxious. And the company you keep, even if they're electronic, can be good for you. They can be bad for you. So if you want to get through transition, you want to get through difficult times, make sure you get the right people around you. Proverbs 27:6 says this, a slap of a friend can be trusted to help you, but the kisses of an enemy are nothing but lies. You can walk with people who will just say, attaboy all the time, you're good, you're awesome, you're wonderful. And perhaps we're reaping a society of some of that. That everybody's awesome all the time. Everybody's wonderful. No matter what you do, it doesn't matter because you're just super and you're special. But the slap of a friend can be trusted. And honestly, if one of you came up and just slapped me for no reason, that I wouldn't consider that to be a good thing. But I believe, as you think about this trap, it's the slap of a friend who would keep you from doing something really dumb. You might be mad at the moment, but in a minute you're going to say, thanks. I needed that. I know if I was walking blindly and wasn't paying attention to my path and there was a cliff ahead and I was supposed to turn and somebody came up and just tackled me or smacked me on the head, the first response would be, what are you doing? And you crazy person. But then when you look up and you see that they saved you from going off the edge, then you say, thank you so much. And the people we travel with, the company we keep, need to be like that. And we need to be that friend to others. I'm not talking about beating each other up. I'm not talking about being the sin police in somebody else's life. Not at all. But sometimes to stand up and say, man, I'd be careful about that. I've had opportunities to share that with some of you guys through my ministry. And I've been blessed enough to have some of you guys share the same thing with me. Greg, I don't know about that. Just enough to say, you don't need a yes person around you all the time. You need people that are going to speak the truth in love. A slap of a friend can be trusted. In Proverbs 27:9, it says this, perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. People who shoot you straight in love, who are there for you, they bring a pleasantness and they bring joy to your heart. If you want to get through transition, surround yourself as much as you can with people who are not perfect. You won't find those. People who are striving, people who really want to serve God. And and bring them alongside. Not only will they keep you in line, not only will they sharpen you, not only will they give you strength, but they will bring joy to your life. You want to get through this COVID thing, you want to get through whatever you're going through with it, may or may not be related to that, as quickly and efficiently as possible. Do these things. Make sure you stay on the right path. Make sure you carry the right load. And make sure you keep the proper company. So the action point for today is choose wisely what you're going to do. Choose wisely how you walk through this time, these perilous times. These are not the only perilous times, right, in your life. You've been through storms and valleys before. You look through the Scriptures and you see the highlights are basically a lot of difficulties that God's people overcame. They endured. And they came out victors. They didn't come out always shit smelling like a rose. Everybody sinned in the process. There was lessons to be learned. But as we look back, we can choose more wisely because of their difficulties, and we can forge forward if we make right choices. Yesterday's good decisions on the path don't get you to this evening's destination. Yesterday's good decisions don't get you where you need to go. Today's good decisions, now's good decisions, every day's decisions, every moment decision gets us where we need to go. So choose wisely. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 and 15 reads this way. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers, worship beyond the river and Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers that served beyond the rivers, or the gods of the Amorites, whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, today, right now, we will serve the Lord. It's not a decision you make one time. That's a great Bible verse, a great moment in the history of Israel. But one decision like that doesn't, again, tomorrow you have to make that same decision. As for me, I will serve the Lord today. I will serve the Lord right now. Is fear part of your daily life? Are you racked with insecurities about the future? And I mean, you know God has it in control on an intellectual level, but somehow or another, during this time of difficulty, you find yourself living in fear and anger and bitterness. That's not the way of God. It's not what He has for you. Again, it doesn't mean that there won't be storms all around us as we walk through the path, but if we stay on the path, if we keep the right company, and we carry the right load, God will see us through this. I don't know what you're going through, but I know that God is the answer to that. As the band comes, would you take a moment, bow your heads as we pray together. God, we're thankful that You are exactly what we talked about. Your Word rings true. You are perfect. Not a thing got by You today or in any of this situation. God, You are still in control. You're still aware. And we thank You that You have chosen us and that You're our Savior. I pray that we will inquire of You, Lord, how we can do better in these areas, and that You will speak to each heart as only You can. Convict us, move us, inspire us during this time of invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for visiting. Find us at www.islandbaptistchurch.org.